available. KX, how are you this afternoon, Gary?
KX, KI-4DOS. Hey, Patrick, I'm doing real good. Well, I got my ears lowered today, and I feel a little better about that. Now I don't have to get a set of dog tags. And I got through with that and got home, cut the grass. And now I went out to get us some supper. The wife had on some big pot of beans. She decided she didn't want those tonight. We'll eat them tomorrow night. So I went and got a supper.
Along with a good pot of pinto beans the second night.
Patrick, I really like them better the day after. Let them sit there and stew in their own juices, so to speak, and get a little more flavor out of it. I think she's got planned on some fried cornbread and pinto beans for supper tomorrow night, and maybe a little piece of ham or something like that. I don't know if she's got supper planned, but whatever it's going to be, it will be good.
Time to dinner, because my wife and son don't like pinto beans, so it's just me.
We normally eat about 6 o'clock, so that'd probably be right around there.
What's going on with you, Gary? nobody in my house eats it but me, so I'm the only one. So she'll make it every now and then, and then I have to eat them for a week, and by then, I'm ready to be done with them.
There ain't nothing wrong with dried beans, you know, whether pintos or navy beans or mixed beans or black-eyed peas or whatever, you know, they're all good. I just enjoy them myself. And I don't mind eating them as far as that goes. I've eaten them 2 or 3 days in a row. I don't know that I'd want to eat them for a week, but I have done that before.
I love me some pinto beans, black-eyed peas, navy beans, just like you were saying. And a good warm cake of cornbread, some milk, I'm good.
When I was growing up, we ate a lot like that, you know, all the time. You know, we ate beans a lot, and greens, and cornbread, and I just like a big old tall glass of buttermilk with a piece of cornbread crumbled up in it.
Right there with you. I remember sitting in Grandma's house doing that. That was living.
I think we're trying to get too uppity, you know, and the things that we eat. But that's why I grew up, you know. Like I said, we grew up, we wasn't destitute, but we didn't have a whole lot of money, and everything went well, and we ate good, and I'm still here, so I don't guess it hurt me a bit. And I enjoy it. You're right. There's a lot of folks that don't like that kind of eating, but that's what I was raised on. You know, that and red-eye gravy and cream gravy and, I don't know. I get talking about stuff I used to eat. You know, when I was growing up, I just go on and on. Don't know when to quit.
I'm right there with you. I grew up the same way. And sometimes we didn't have two nickels to rub together, but we always had a pot of beans. And I still enjoy them to this day. And one reason I don't like going out to eat anymore. Everybody's trying too hard, trying to make it too fancy and gourmet. Just give me the simple stuff.
It don't have to be fancy. It's just filling. And I tell you, a big old bowl of beans or a plate of beans or whatever, however you want to, you know, whatever you want to serve them in, you can't beat that. And you won't go away from the table hungry.
I might be hungry in a little while, but you won't be hungry right then.
What are you doing? You headed home now?
Yes, sir. I'm finally heading north.
Well, you be careful out there. Yeah, there's a lot of idiots out there on the road, and I resemble that remark.
I'm with them all day long, every day. You ain't got to tell me.
West Mobile. Really, you know, it's, it seems like there's more cars on the road every day, and I guess there is in reality. All the younger kids or children are getting their license, and mom and dad buy them a car and just turn them loose. I had to buy my first one, and it was a 1951 Plymouth with a flathead six in it. That was my first vehicle.
I was the same way. I had to buy my own. I bought an 80 model Camaro that had a blowed up engine in it, and then had to put a motor in it, and that started a downward spiral working on cars to where I'm at today.
I worked on cars. I know you go to a lot of places that do and sell tools to them, but I guess you still do a little bit of that around the house.
We'll do a little bit of it out about. Last Friday, I worked with one of my customers because they're short-handed, so I went and helped them. And tomorrow, I'm helping one of my buddies up here at the house. He's got several guys out, so I'll be working with him tomorrow. Just kind of go where I'm needed. I got to where I want to work on a car again. There for a while, I couldn't stand it. Just got burnt out on it, and that's when I got out.
Enough of that. I wouldn't want to do it for a living, as far as that goes. I mean, if it meant to do that or no beans on the table, I'd do that. I do work on my own vehicles and keep them in good repair. But sometimes, you know, with all this new stuff, I had a little old ODB2 scanner. I get that out. And it did all right for a few things and some of the older equipment, but all this new stuff is coming out now. There's so many sensors and all this stuff that are integrated. I had to upgrade my scanning tool, and that hurt my pocketbook.
I bought the OE factory scan tools when I was working for the dealer, just so I'd have full capability of doing everything I needed to do, and that lightened me up for a little while. But once you get into working on cars, it's either a love or hate relationship, and it will change at any minute.
That way with my pickup truck, I did a lot of work to it. Nothing that had to be done. Some of the parts that I replaced were working fine, like the injectors. I didn't have to put a new fuel rail and all of that stuff on there, new injectors. But I figured, what the heck, you know, the truck's getting a little age on it, and I got it in the garage out here. I'll go ahead and work on it and replace some of that stuff. And I had one problem with it. It kept throwing a too rich code, and I've talked to several different people and got several different ideas, and one mechanic told me, he said, drive it for about 100 miles or a little over, and he said, let the computer reset. And I said, well, it should be reset. You know, I did that with a scan tool and all that. And he said, no, he said, drive it and see if it does it. And so I did, and I drove it from, 120 miles or so. And it quit throwing that code. I guess the computer had to relearn everything.
Looks there, they got what they call a vid block in them. And it's got calculations that move the short or long-term fuel trim around to rich or lean it out, depending on what it's doing with the wear of the engine and different things going on. So it'll change that calculation over time.
And so I learned something new, and it fixed it, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. Hopefully, the light's off and it's not throwing the code, so we should be in good shape. Patrick, I've arrived here at the house. I'm going to take the wife's supper in to her. Good talking with you. You be careful going on home, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. Enjoy it there, young man. KO4HKX, KI4DOS Mobile.
Good talking to you this afternoon. And I was going to have to say 7-3 shortly anyway. I'm getting ready to cross the state line. So you have a good evening, and I'll keep an ear out for you next time down the road. KO4HK, 7-3.